green light here through time's trouble, confusion, murkiness. Anybody got any pills, Mr. Smurfly? Give me some pills over here. Confusion and murkiness and tumult, chaos, stupidity. Rush Limbaugh here, the EIB Network. Gold microphone, talent unload from God. So, let me see. What are you doing? Oh, yeah, Barack Obama. Can you just hear the breathless panting and the tongues wagging on the sidewalks over there in, where are they? Where is he, Mr. Smurley? Oh, he's over in London. What? Mrs. Smurley, talk louder. God damn it, you know my ears don't work. Here, wait a minute. Here. All right, there we go. Anyway, there he is, forging a new relationship with the Putin Medvedev Russian organization. You know, comes back and takes over the oil industry and healthcare's next. And mark my words, they wouldn't do otherwise. Hey, well, you know, golden microphone here. I'm just, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a serious problem here. This carbuncle in my ass is starting to act up again. Don't have a housekeeper anymore to go out and get drugs. You know what else? After all that bouncing around I did on the stage, that CPAC thing, you know, where I was looking to get laid, actually. You know, I bounced around and, you know, it popped out and now I can't sit down. That's why I'm standing up to today's show. Can't see my feet anymore. Hell, I look in the mirror and can't even see which direction I used to be going. I don't know. This is weird. All right, today we're going to talk about those dirty liberals. And we're going to celebrate the fact that millions of more people are homeless now. God damn it, I think that's funny. I am very glad that I'm not him. There is not enough world or enough there's not enough money in the universe to get me to be Rush Limbaugh. Happy April 1st. I swallowed whole a couple of and then immediately spit them back up a couple of internet scams that were going around. Internet pieces. One of them was that the pig man was going to address, he's going to give a speech at an event put together by Reverend Wallace. Jim Wallace, where he was going to pledge half of this money to help the poor. You know, I'm reading down that thing, I'm thinking, what? What? Yeah. What? Did he find out? Did the pig man find out he has terminal brain cancer, and this is his way to try to make amends at the last moment, you know, kind of like so many of these right-wingers do at the last second. Oh, I didn't mean any of it. Going to pull a Lee Atwater on us? Then I find out, no, it's just a joke. April 1st. God, I hate April 1st. It's hard to tell the jokes from the reality, you know, because everything is so weird. MSNBC just pulled one on everybody. They had the working man's friend sitting there, Ed Schultz. And they got Oberman to say that he's going to have a program. All right. It was all happening, not at the zoo, but at over in London today. Did you see some of the video, especially on CNN? Who's this woman in the morning that substitutes sometimes? Frederica somebody. Whitfield? Is that her name? Frederica Whitfield. So, we get Molly off to preschool and, it's my turn to take her this morning. God damn it. And, I come home and on the way home, I'm listening on Sirius. I'm listening to CNN on Sirius in the car. And I get home and turn on the television And, you know, they got some live reports coming from the scene of all the demonstrations going on in front of the Bank of Scotland and the Bank of England and yada, yada, yada. And Miss Whitfield just could not get her mind around what was the purpose of what was going on, the purpose of this so-called G20. And you talk about a cluster, you know, oh, my God. What, 36 hours they're going to solve all the world's problems in 36 hours? Is that what they're going to do? Anyway, Frederica just could not keep her mind on why they were really there and just kept coming back to the, well, now we're getting reports of people down in the street and then there's rioting. Why are these people rioting? She, honest to God, had to ask her correspondent, in the CNN correspondent, in the middle of this, in London, why are these people rioting? Well, what is their complaint? What do they want to do? And then the question I really liked is when she asked the CNN correspondent that was in the middle of the crowd, the question that comes right out of the right wingers playbook. Well, let me ask you, Susan, is this some of the faces you see in this crowd now, you know, 10,000 people there, are some of these people, are these the ones that travel around the world going from economic conference to economic conference and protesting? Are these the same people? You know, they wear this face mask and they dress in black. These are the same people, right? They go to from Seattle to New York to Bombay to now they're in London, right? Right. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm thinking, oh, my God. Oh, my God. God, what was even more colorful than the protests. Oh, and by the way, you know, watching on television today, and I have no idea how big it was. I don't know if there were 10,000 people, there were 100,000 or a million. I have no idea. It just seemed like a lot of people who were being very vocal about just the general discontent on what predatory capitalism has done to us, is continuing to do to us. And if Gordon Brown and Barack Obama and some of these other people have their way, not the European leaders, I'm talking about the UK and the US, if they have their way, they're going to continue to do it to us, only in a much more sophisticated way, because now it's going to be classified as a rescue mission, a bailout, a stimulus plan, what have you. No, I'm not talking about the stimulus plan. I'm talking about the bailout of these god-awful banks, these horrific, filthy centers of corruption, capitalist corruption, that are just going to have barrels of money tossed in their laps, right, if the UK and the US have their way. But the interesting part of this was the run-up, where Gordon Brown, the you know, the Prime Minister of the United of the UK, the Gordon Brown, running around the world, trying to drum up some interest. Remember when he was in Brazil and President Lula da Silva down there declared that, quote, this crisis was caused by the irrational behavior of white people with blue eyes, who before the crisis appeared to know everything and now demonstrate that they know nothing, end quote. Now, if you look at his full remarks, it was clear, as pointed out in The Guardian in the UK, that he was not promoting biological race theories, but he was calling attention to the injustice that the vast majority of the world, who just happened to be both poor and non-white, the injustice and the suffering now that is going to go on because of the greed and stupidity of a few. That was his point. And it was exactly right on. China let loose with a broadside against the U.S., basically saying that the Chinese, have gotten their act together and are mobilizing massive resources internally to counter all this downturn. And then they went on to say, now, how about you clowns who made this mess? You know, you step up plate before we take more losses on your stinking treasury bonds. Well, they didn't say it exactly that way, but it was still a departure from the usual kind of comments that the Chinese make, you know, hide brilliance, cherish obscurity motto that has guided the Chinese foreign policy. But it was really something to see, wasn't it? Huh? Did you enjoy that? What were we doing in the meantime? I was taking my preschooler into her class and coming home and sitting on my ass watching it on TV. How about you? Hey!
Outrage. Oh, here it is. Back to Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. So, our missive from Prairie Tutinet, our economics advisor, who I don't think was in London, but... His subject line is Lie Down and Rot. Prairie 2 writes, an ugly mob broke through police lines in London today and stormed the Royal Bank of Scotland. The U.S. corporate media actually said that what motivated the protesters was that they want to do away with money. Aren't they crazy? Yeah, right. The Royal Bank of Scotland has already done away with their money since Great Britain went just as crazy with deregulation as the U.S. Could it be the protesters in Europe take all this much more seriously than do Americans because they still have a collective memory of what can happen when you let a Great Depression get out of hand? Obama said something significant today, but just what it foretells about his policies isn't so clear. He said that the rest of the world should not expect the United States to return to being a, his words, voracious consumer market, end quote, driving the world economy, and that they need to develop their own markets. He also said the U.S. would not be returning to the trade and budget deficits of the past decade. Well, there are only two ways to achieve zero trade deficits in a balanced budget, either a return to a manufacturing economy of our own, or lower the standard of living to that of a lower-tiered third-world country. If Obama is planning to rebuild our manufacturing base, he's keeping it to himself. He keeps using phrases like, quote, Americans have overspent and borrowed too much, end quote, and, quote, America doesn't need the jobs that have been outsourced, end quote, the kind of things you would expect to hear from the Wall Street bankers that are advising him. Rather, Obama should know the economic reality is that Americans have been underpaid, and the so-called company store lent them money until payday at usurious rates. The Reagan-Greenspan policy was of controlling so-called wage inflation by union busting, outsourcing, and the importing of millions of low-paid workers. Then they created trillions in debt to keep up demand for goods lest anybody notice the economy had been destroyed. It's not capitalism that is a walking corpse. It's doing very well for the capitalists. It's the entire middle class that has become zombies, lurching from paycheck to paycheck, unaware that they are expected to lie down and rot away. From Prairie 2. Whew. All right, go to his website, prairienumber2.com, and vote. He's got a poll tonight. Where will we be in 10 years? So the leading answer, he writes so far, is chasing our food with a stick. Oh, my God. All right, go there. Go. Check out his website, prairie2.com. Vote in this poll so that he can send me an email later on tonight and say that, oh, my God, chasing our food with a stick is not the one that won. Chasing our food with a stick. All right, go there and check it out. Thanks, Prairie 2. Appreciate it. prairienumber2.com. And engage him. Tell him he's, you know. In my mini blog today, I had written that capitalism, of course, is a walking corpse, and I've been saying that. And Obama and his advisors are trying to reanimate it. And Prairie 2 says, no, it's doing very well for the capitalists. It's the middle class that has become a zombie. Oh, I don't like to think that. I really don't, for a number of reasons. So the protesters were there. And thanks to Frederica, who kept us informed about how the protesters were skirmishing with the police around the Bank of England today. The report, nobody seems to have a number here, and I'd be curious. They just say thousands of what are called as anti-capitalists. Why anti-capitalist? Why not pro-democratic socialist? Why not that? Why anti-cap? Although that's a good word, anti-capitalism, but that's a buzz phrase that just makes Americans get all shaky and have to go to the bathroom. They say thousands of anti-capitalists, anarchists, and environmental campaigners descended for protests in several locations in London, including the financial center around the Bank of England, Britain's central bank. See, we don't have a central bank, do we? Protesters broke several dark-tinted windows of a Royal Bank of Scotland building and crawled inside. They spray-painted the word THIEVES and the anarchist symbol on the side of the building. Small fires were set. Small fires were set, and effigies of bankers burned, a police spokesman said when pressed about the nature of the protests. On the whole, it's not been too bad. 11 people were arrested for being in possession of police uniforms, according to a police spokesman who told CNN. These 11 had earlier been stopped while riding in an armored personnel carrier near Bishopsgate, close to the Bank of England. I wonder where they got the armored personnel carrier. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. Every step I get to, I'm crossing that game. Everyone's a winner, we're making our fame. Bona fide hustler, making my name. Sometimes I think sitting on trains. Every step I get to, I'm crossing that game. Everyone's a winner, we're making our fame. Bona fide hustler, making my name.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
Yeah, it certainly does. Tonight, also, in this first hour, second hour, we're going to do Mike Malloy Gumshoe, brought to you by the mighty Malloy theatrical outfit, so stick around for that. We are thinking about developing that into a bigger feature, Mike Malloy Gumshoe, so stick around. We didn't get to it last night because apparently what the problems we had last night, for anyone who cares, was a result of a power failure here. We have so many of them in North Georgia Mountains, and usually our backup, what's that thing called, Kathy, the thing that the backup thing, what's it called, the power source? Anyway, usually that will kick in, but apparently the outage was just long enough to put all of our equipment into a default position, and the default position has nothing to do with getting the program to you. So that's what happened. So we're going to do it. We're going to do it tonight. Now back to London. The police spokesman said, on the whole, it's not been too bad regarding the protesters, and some of the banners that the protests read: "Arrest the war criminals." I like that one. Another one said, "Capitalism isn't working." Another one said, "Duh." Well, no, you know, capitalism isn't working. It isn't. And even Barack Obama is starting. I think he may be starting to realize that. He still is being advised by people who are telling him that, no, it'll work. It'll work. It's just a temporary burp, a hiccup. No, it isn't. A CNN producer reported a festive atmosphere at a parallel protest by environmentalists outside the European Climate Exchange. European Climate Exchange? Who knew? Protesters there had pitched tents for what they were calling a climate camp. I bet the pig man had fun with that one, huh? According to the CNN producer, the people at that demonstration danced to, the drumming, drum circles. They had lunch on blankets as part of a peaceful, festive protest. I love it. And then I like this. Despite the relatively good-natured atmosphere, many shops in the area boarded up their windows and doors as the protesters chanting, "Power to the people," got nearer. Power to the people? That's back? Power to the people? I mean, I'm all for it, but... You know, we used to talk about that years ago, and the people didn't get the power. As a matter of fact, it went just the opposite direction. These are very interesting times, which of course is a Chinese curse. But I wonder, I get emails from my adult children who are concerned. You know, hey, Pop, what's going to happen? And I just pass on Prairie 2's advice: buy canned food. Stick it in your pantry, hide it away someplace. And, of course, I've told all the kids that they can come here if the worst comes to worst. Two of them know how to fire rifles, so the other one I'll have to work on her, teach her how to use a weapon. Well, you know, to hunt, you know, to go get your food. There's an awful lot of game here in the North Georgia Mountains, a lot of it being eaten by the coyotes at night. Have you heard those coyotes at night? Have you heard those, Kenny? Yeah. Those may be the foxes. I'm not sure. This is from Media Matters, mediamatters.org. Remember, it's a website, and Think Progress. These are websites that should be mediamatters.org. You should go there at least once a day. A poll shows a majority of the country rejects the media narrative that's on out there right now, blaming Barack Obama for this economic crisis. You know, say what you want about Barack Obama, but he didn't cause any of this. I mean, this is not his ball game. And what it says is, in response to a recent Washington Post ABC News poll showing that only 26% of the public blames the Obama administration for the country's economic situation, Media Matters released the following statement. All right, do you hear that? If you watch television during the day, I don't care who it is, MSNBC, CNN, God help you if you watch Fox, forget right-wing talk radio, which is 92% of talk radio. Forget all that, because of course they tell you it's all Barack Obama's. I think this little geeky Sean Hannity, well, he's not little anymore, he's getting big! Sean Hannity was one of the first to start calling it the Obama recession before he was, before he was sworn in. I think when he won the election. Sean is such a basket case. I mean, he's just so pathetic. But anyway, Media Matters for America released this statement from Erica Canuti, a spokeswoman for that organization. Quote, the poll shows that despite what they are hearing from the media, the public overwhelmingly blames banks, business, and the Bush administration, not President Obama. The media have repeatedly attached Obama's name to the economic crisis and all but erased the role of the previous administration from their coverage. The American people aren't falling for it, end quote. Yeah, that is so irritating. It's beyond irritating. I shouldn't say irritating. It's infuriating. It's infuriating. Why don't these sons of bitches like Charlie Gibson or any of the rest of them, why don't they refer to it to what it is, the Bush recession, the Bush depression? You know, to link Obama to this in any manner whatsoever, other than to say that he's trying to solve it totally the wrong way, and enough people are saying that. I suggested today in my blog at MikeMalloy.com that you read Joseph Stiglitz's op-ed piece today on the New York Times op-ed page, which bears reading. I don't understand why all of Obama's economic advisors are not following the advice of Stiglitz, not in the column, but you know, this guy's a professor. He's an economist. He has written several books about all this, and why he and Krugman are being ignored. I don't know why Krugman or Stiglitz was not appointed or nominated by Obama to be the Treasury Secretary. Why Timothy Geithner? Unless you want to buy into the theory that what this bailout is all about is just doing the same old, which is what it looks more and more like every day, right? Anyway, the poll released yesterday, the Washington Post ABC News poll released yesterday, asked respondents who they thought deserved the most blame for the country's economic situation. The results for who deserved a great deal or a good amount of blame are as follows. 80% said banks and other financial institutions. 80% said large business corporations. So you could vote more than once. 72% said consumers. That's very interesting. I'm glad that the number is that high where it concerns those of us. I'm not talking about you or me. God knows we didn't do this, right? Somebody else did. But the fact that consumers in this country, as Bush used to love to call us, we blew the bank. I mean, it was like the bankers opened up the vaults and said, yeah, come on in, it's free money, as they twirled their mustaches. And we walked in and sold off everything we had, the equity in our houses, our IRAs, our stock portfolios, those of us who had them. We just sold it all off. Sure, why not? I want the money now. I want a party now. Party like it's 1999. Oh, wait a minute. That was 10 years ago. Okay. Well, whatever. So 72% in this poll said consumers are responsible. 70% said the Bush administration. 26% said the Obama administration. Now, Media Matters has extensively documented, and you can go to their website and get all of this. I've just got a little bit here. But they've documented how media figures, you know, the people who have your ear and your eyes and mine during the day, and they're reporting on these economic issues, have blamed Obama for the recession by disappearing the Bush administration's role and repeatedly referring to the Obama recession. Have you noticed how, it's like, I mean, who's still out there? Whose name is still out there? I saw Colin Powell was on Rachel's program tonight. But who is still out there connected to the Bush administration that you hear about? Unless it's discussions about whether or not a Spanish court will start handing up indictments. Who's out there? Bush is a non-person. It's like Winston Smith got a hold of his name and dropped him down the memory hole. He's gone. It's like he was never president. Nothing. And until you look around and see the debris left from his being here for 8 years, the bloodied landscape, whether it's here or in Iraq or no matter where. I mean, his handprints, his paw marks are all over the place. But these bastards in media never talk about him, do they? Huh? Never. So you have the, what is referred to as the, Obama recession. As Media Matters has documented, beginning in early November 2008, conservative media figures like The Pigman and Hannity and Dick Morris and Hugh Hewitt have asserted that Obama is to blame for the decline of the stock market since the election and have promoted the myth of an Obama recession. In fact, according to the National Bureau of Economic Research, the recession began in December of 2007. I would dispute that. I would say it began about 6 minutes after George Bush was appointed president by the Supreme Court. But let's go with December 2007. What was Barack Obama do? Oh, that's right. He was a senator. There's more. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Defining Anger Management, it's Mike Malloy.
It is 10 before the hour. So, we've got the Obama recession, thanks to the media. We now have the Obama bear market. And again, Media Matters has documented numerous media outlets declaring the existence of an Obama bear market. In addition, MSNBC, in numerous reports, used misleading charts to suggest that the Dow only began dropping after Obama's election or inauguration, despite the fact that the Dow was on a downward trajectory months before the elections, dropping almost 4,000 points from May 2nd, 2008 to November 3rd, 2008. Also, as we mentioned, there's the disappearance of Bush. For example, again, all this has been documented by MediaMatters.org. In a March 8 Associated Press so-called analysis, the writer suggested that Obama is to blame for job losses since he took office, and even before he did take office, an argument rejected even by conservative CNBC host and National Review online economics editor Larry Kudlow. But that doesn't, see, that doesn't stop these people. It doesn't stop them. The idea here, and this is what the Republicans are doing, and they're making a mistake for them, a blessing for the rest of us. The Republicans in Congress, in the House and the Senate, and all the commentators, all these neo-fascists, the corporatists, the people who want the kind of government here that was only a wet dream for Benito Mussolini, and they still think they can get it, these blue-eyed white men. But what they have to do is to put out the mythology that somehow all of this is Barack Obama's fault, even though this started in 1980 with the election of Ronald Reagan. But they're going to blame it on Barack Obama, or attempt to. And history is on their side, history being the fact that most of us Americans have an attention span of about 15 minutes. And we certainly have no sense of history whatsoever. Who can think back to the Reagan years in the first place? How many people listening to Limbaugh and the rest of these pigs were kids when Reagan took office? Really? I mean, we're talking about 1980. That's almost 30 years ago, isn't it? So the unwillingness of most Americans to really examine, okay, how did we get here? You know, the quick answer for most people, and this is what the right-wingers love, the quick answer is, well, we had a housing bubble. And you know what caused it? It was that that law passed back in the 70s that said that poor people ought to have a chance to own a house. And they were going to relax some of the conditions to get a house. That's what it was. It was the poor people. It was the people without good jobs. The people didn't have a down payment. That's what it was. Yes, indeed. Now, that is the that's the history that's being put out there. And the horrifying part is, it's working. When you have that story being put out across this country, wall to wall, 24/7, coast to coast, border to border, you know, it's the Hitlerian big lie. You tell something over and over enough times, the big lie, eventually people start to believe it, attach to it. So Obama, who has been in office for what? Well, how long has he been in office? Has he hit the 100-day mark yet? I don't think so. But they're trying to pin it on him. Because the Republicans know they don't have an ice cube's chance in hell of ever again retaining or reclaiming any kind of power. And their sponsors, corporate America, are starting to get nervous. I don't know why. Obama has nobody in his entourage, his cabinet, his immediate group, who even approaches the idea of democratic socialism or something that would hurt these predatory sons of bitches. Oh, yeah, he's saying that there are going to be tighter restrictions and they're going to be enforced and yada, 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 which means that these capitalist ripoff artists will just have to dial back from making $1 billion a year to $500 million a year. But they'll still be sucking the blood out of every single citizen in this country. Now, the Republicans know that they're not needed anymore. And you know why they're not needed anymore? Because we have the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party is more than willing. I mean, look at them. They are more than willing to be kind of the moderate fascists. Huh? You have the crazy fascists like John Boehner and his tribe and Mitch McConnell and Newt the Gingster and the Pigman and Hannity and all these crazy people. You have them, and then you have the moderate predatory capitalists. And that would be the advisors to Barack Obama. Now, again, who knows Who knows what Mr. Obama has hidden in his trick bag? You never know. You never know what he's going to pull out. He's dropped a few hints. Like at this meeting, he said, well, you know, if the world thinks that we're going to go back to our profligate ways and all spending and no saving, and, you know, blah, 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 you're in for a surprise, you better start developing your own markets. Is that a hint? Is that a clue? Or is Brock just trying to make sure that some crazy son of a bitch from Wall Street doesn't pick up a rifle and come looking for him? We don't know, do we? We just don't know. I mean, some of us think we do. Some of us have already written off Barack Obama as just a shield of corporate America. Oh, okay. And some of us, like moi, are still holding on to that little shred of hope. Rope-a-dope, rope-a-dope, rope-a-dope. Just go ahead. Go ahead, Brock. Just keep on keeping on. Come on. Get all up in their faces about, you know, here's some more money. We're going to save you. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. And then, you know, at the last minute, pull the string. And, you know, the scrim comes up. And all of a sudden, we have in front of us Brave New World, maybe? Nah. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy. Stay with us. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on whatever outlet you are listening, whether it's XM or Sirius or the Internet or your favorite radio station. Welcome to the program. And we invite you to go to MikeMolloy.com, check out the happenings there. And if you used to be a podcast subscriber, now's the time to do it. Now is the time to do it. I keep thinking about those 20,000 people that signed that petition when I got broomed from Air America. So we're looking for people to help us get this program, or I almost said network, but there's no network here. It's just us. Get this program launched and in a manner that will cause people to stand back and marvel.
And I want to stress that maybe this is getting lost in the telling of it, but these are commercial-free podcasts. There is no commercial on there at all.
Easy now. Commercials are wonderful.
No, it's time compressed though. So, you know, you're working out or you're doing whatever you're doing. You don't have to fast forward through any commercials.
That's very true.
Uninterrupted Molloy rant.
And we are, I think this week we're going to be putting up, or this weekend, the first in a very long time of Molloy's Uncensored Mailbag. Wherein we take the emails that come in from the real knuckle draggers, the ones that like to say caca and poo-poo, only really say those words, and attempt to insult me, Kathy, my child, you know, my grandchildren, whatever. They're great fun to read because they are so hysterical and so crazed and always misspelled. And if you remember, if you were a subscriber through the old Nova M network, you know that we used to put these up on a regular basis, usually weekly. So if you are a podcast subscriber, you have access to that. And we're also thinking about Mike Molloy Gumshoe, expanding that into something that will be available to podcast subscribers, kind of like the old film noir from the 50s and 60s. Matter of fact, at the bottom of this hour, we're going to be playing just a little taste, just a tiny taste of what we have in mind for Mike Malloy, Gumshoe.
Yeah, and I got an email a few minutes ago from Bob Alexander who wanted to know if I was able to pull off any kind of a Katharine Hepburn, and I will just do the best I can. That's all I can promise.
Well, not tonight. We've already got tonight's in the can.
Yes, but if you want to hear me doing a really bad Katharine Hepburn later, you may have to join the podcast subscription.
That'll be fun. That'll be great fun. Sarah in Brevard, North Carolina, sends in a subject, just a tiny thing. Sarah writes, at his press conference with Gordon Brown today, Obama noted that the United States was having to pour larger amounts of money into our economy because the countries in Europe have a stronger safety net, or have stronger safety nets. Sarah writes, I thought that was a subtle education moment, but then maybe that's how starved I am for Americans to understand. Yeah, I think most of us who gather at this program understand, Sarah, just how vulnerable we are in this country. On a weekly basis, somebody took a different point on this the other night when I mentioned it, but we are the most efficient producers of stuff on Earth. Our workers work harder. In a relative way, our workers get less. The idea of a 5 weeks vacation, which is common in countries that have mixed economies that include democratic socialism as well as entrepreneurship, as well as private ownership. There's no question here about private ownership. We're talking about democratic socialism. Shorter work weeks, a better safety net. So it is not required. We have people in this country who... in our country, who, and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, who all of a sudden are just incredibly desperate. Where to go? What to do? Okay, we can make jokes or talk cynically, as I often do, about our spendthrift ways and, you know, how the bastards in the financial services industry opened up the vault and said, come on in, America. Take what you want. Come and get it, boys and girls. It's all free. Don't worry about a thing. You know that house you bought for 120 grand a few years ago? Why, soon it'll be worth a million. Come on in, boys and girls. You know, there is that. But we are hurting in this country. We truly are hurting. And when Obama goes to this G20 and stands there as a representative of the society, the economic system that has tanked the entire global economy, we really can't put the blame anywhere else. It belongs here, unless you're a Republican. And Republicans never take responsibility for anything that they do, no matter how corrupt, criminal, sick, nasty. If they are having sexual relations with children or tanking an economy, they never take responsibility. So Obama is the point man over there. Now, Gordon Brown understands, because Gordon Brown is going to lose the next election because of the fact that he is the figurehead. As a matter of fact, he's been in power long enough to have known better. But Obama shows up, and all of a sudden, too many people in the rest of the world listen to the garbage that comes from our media, and they start to believe that maybe Obama has something to do with this, which he did not. But as Sarah points out, a subtle education moment, maybe directed at us. Why don't we have the kind of social safety net in this country that precludes everybody panicking when we hit these economic downturns? Why don't we have an economic system that stops this crazy, family-destroying, life-destroying system that we call the predatory or unbridled capitalism? Why do we have that in this country? Well, because we are not willing to fight for it, I guess, or because we are incredibly ignorant. We think that the only way to go is the way that we are going and our parents went and our grandparents went. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you get up, you go to work, you come home, you get up, you go to work, you come home, and all of a sudden you find that your whole goddamn life is gone. And what do you have for it? Well, up until recently, you had maybe a house, maybe a car, maybe two. Maybe you got one of your three kids through college, and that was a trade school. get up, go to work, come home, get up, go to work, come home. And then about 5 or 6 years ago, all of a sudden the vaults were open. Come and get it. Come on, boys and girls. Are you sick of not being able to go to Cancun on your vacation? Are you tired of going or attempting to go to Yellowstone National Park again? Now you can go to Cozumel. Come on, boys and girls. Come and get the money. That sort of thing. A teaching, an education moment, as Sarah puts it. She starved for Americans to understand. Yeah, so am I. I think anyone with any kind of respect for ourselves, any kind of self-respect, it's just kind of sitting around going, good God, why? And we know, we know, we've known for a long time that this is not the way to go. This is not the way to do things. The collapse of the economy, the collapse of the environment, it's all happening at the same time. It is linked. It is definitely linked. It is seriously, deeply linked. I don't know why we can't, provide ourselves with leaders who say, look, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. Well, the London G20 protest claimed its first life. A man found dead amid protest on tonight. I think they found him tonight on a street near the Bank of England, where he apparently collapsed and stopped breathing around 7:30 p.m. London time. He was pronounced dead at the hospital. The authorities didn't give a possible cause of death. Demonstrators raised effigies of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, representing war, climate chaos, financial crimes, and homelessness. And the meeting is scheduled to open tomorrow. And protesters have planned another day of action tomorrow. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Other big story here in the last 24 hours, the Justice Department decided this morning to drop all charges against former Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska. After he was convicted on 7 felony counts regarding ethics violations, I don't know. I never liked Ted Stevens for a number of reasons, not the least of which he was a Republican. But I had a feeling that I'm serious about this, that his convictions were more than just a bit dodgy. It reminded me of Democratic Governor of Alabama, Don Siegelman, who also got caught, only he went to prison because he was a Democrat. But I think the decision by Eric Holder, where it concerns former Senator Ted Stevens, is probably correct. And I say that because I've spent some time today checking around, trying to get as much information on this as I can from the web. The Justice Department lawyers, the Obama Justice Department lawyers, told the federal court that they had discovered all sorts of prosecutorial misconduct in the case. Prosecutorial misconduct that was perpetrated against Stevens by Bush people, by George W. Bush people, okay, by Gonzalez people, by whoever, who was the attorney general when this debacle ended, the Bush crime family? Jesus, Mukasey, you know, deliberate violations of the law by these prosecutors, all from the Bush so-called Justice Department. Attorney General Eric Holder said that in the interest of justice, there would be no new trial in the case. Now, you remember about Stevens, 85, he's certainly not a young man. He'd been the longest serving Republican in the history of the Republican. He'd been charged with lying on Senate disclosure forms by concealing an estimated $250,000 worth of goods and services he received. And most of that was to renovate a house he owned in Alaska. Apparently, this guy named Bill Allen, a longtime friend who worked very closely with Stevens and made a fortune by providing services to Alaska's oil industry. Bill Allen was the one that ratted him out. And apparently it was from Bill Allen that that Stevens received the bulk of the goods and services that resulted in his being indicted and convicted. But in their filing today, government lawyers said that the trial prosecutors had concealed from Ted Stevens' defense lawyers notes from an interview with Mr. Allen that raised significant doubts about the charges. Now, you're not allowed to do that. Disclosure laws are very clear, especially in federal cases. That's one of the reasons the Bush crime family never wanted to bring any of the detainees at any of our torture camps to trial. In a real courtroom with real lawyers following the real Constitution and rules of evidence. Because rules of evidence require disclosure to the defendant, the one charged with the crime. So, the Ted Stevens case, before everybody gets their panties in a wad here and says, wait a minute, what's this all about? Once again, I think perhaps with someone like Eric Holder, now this is, you know, I'm rolling the dice on this one. I could be crazier than a loon. But this may establish some sort of a precedent. What he's saying is, look, we don't care if it's a Republican or Democrat or a detainee and swept up and sent to Guantanamo. Maybe he's saying that. We don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. If the rules are not followed, if rules of evidence that have been established over centuries in this country, if constitutional protections, if none of this is honored, then we're throwing out the conviction. We don't care. Maybe Ted Stevens is a real scumbag. Doesn't matter. You play by the rules or you don't play. Jesus, God. Now, the reason a lot of people are mystified by this is because we've had 8 years, of not playing by any rules. Rules of evidence, screw them. Constitution, to hell with it. Geneva Conventions, pfft. So Eric Holder says, wait a second. Ted Stevens' lawyers argued that he had been unaware of what he had gotten from Allen. He didn't intentionally conceal anything. Allen, who was the prosecution's chief witness, said that Stevens was fully aware of what he had received and even signaled he wanted it concealed. But Attorney General Holder, who made the decision to move to drop the charges, said in a statement, quote, I've concluded that certain information should have been provided to the defense for use at trial, end quote. Holder went on to say it was in the interest of justice to dismiss the indictment and forego a new trial. I mean, Jesus Christ, the man's 85. Stick around. We'll be back. I'm Mike Molloy.
border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show, all substance, no abuse.
All right, look, I understand I'm not worth the price of going to a good movie, but is this show worth 25 cents, all 3 hours of it? What does that work down to, 8 cents?
Eight commercial-free cents an hour.
No, it's, yeah, 8 cents an hour. That's what we're asking you to do is subscribe. Join up. Go to MikeMalloy.com. And I'm pushing it this week because we just started, and we need the surge here at the beginning. If you're thinking about becoming a podcast subscriber, now's the time to do it. I mean, sure, if you want to wait 6 weeks or 2 months, okay. But right now is when it's really, really, really important. And again, this is going to cost you 25 cents a day, buck and a quarter a week. That's it. Buck and a quarter a week. Oh, my God. So go to MikeMalloy.com and join up, okay? All right. Have you got that ready? Our friend Bob Alexander came up with an idea the other day about doing kind of a noir, kind of a Casablanca, you know, dark film noir. When I was a kid growing up, I saw a lot of film noir, and I just thought, Jesus, God, doesn't the sun ever shine where they make these movies? Don't these people have light bulbs like we have at our house? Because you ever notice in the noir movies, no matter what time of day it was, and it was always dark, inside the rooms, the offices, the houses, the apartments, the hotel rooms, whatever, it was always dark, except where there was a little bit of light on the wall. And there were shadows all over the place. Remember that? All right. Bob said, you know, you ought to do a feature on your program. And just for the hell of it, go to the noir kind of style. And I agree. I used to, I really started to appreciate those movies, you know, when I got older. When I was a kid, I just wanted to see the sepia-toned cowboy movies. That's all I wanted to see. But when I got older, it was like, oh, yeah, oh, my God, here we go. Especially the Mike Hammer, you know, the Mickey Spillane movies and Edward G. Robinson. I can't go down the list of actors, but there was, because I'm not good at remembering actors' names, but I really liked it. So here is a new series that we're going to do occasionally. Not going to be this short. This first one's real short, but the rest of them are going to be like maybe 2-3 minutes long. Noir on the Malloy program.
And now another episode of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe.
Hey, truth seekers. It was a day like most other days. It started with a cup of hot Joe and a copy of the New York Times. The computer screen glowed dully in front of me. And in the background, I could hear the babble from the television. This is my beat, sifting through whatever passes for news these days, looking for the stories the mainstream boys bury on the back pages, if they cover them at all. You see, I've been covering the Bush crime family for years, and I've learned that the facts don't necessarily end up on the nightly news. So I end up searching the internet, clicking through website after website, looking for the rest of the story mainstream media would rather have us forget all about. Like a couple of wars. But now it's all about money. I guess it's always been. I clicked on over to rawstory.com and Dennis Kucinich, one of the only guys in Washington you could trust not to lift your wallet. Dennis uncovered the latest scam by Merrill Lynch. It seems that when the government gave Merrill Lynch $10 billion of our money, money that was supposed to keep the company afloat, the Merrill Lynch Compensation Committee gave $3.6 billion away to company executives. The guys that lost 25 billion simoleons last year? Yeah, them. Every week, 46,000 families lose their homes, and these jokers got 22 times what the execs over at AIG got. Not bad work if you can get it. So what's Obama going to do about that? Who knows? Over on truthout.org, I read about how Tim Geithner wants to pay out $1 trillion to alleviate the stress on the banking system. No one claims that $1 trillion spent on the Geithner plan will actually clean up the banks. It's just supposed to make things, you know, better. You can do a lot with $1 trillion. S-CHIP could be funded for 300 million kid years. or you'd have more than enough cash for energy-conserving retrofits for every building in the country. Or you could give it to the banks so they can make things better, whatever that means. But enough of all that. Time to turn on Fox to see if this is the day that Glenn Beck's head explodes. All in a day's work. For Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe. Jesus, I wish I still smoked. Oh, yeah, well, thanks to our writer, Bob Alexander. So what we're going to do is do a series. As a matter of fact, we have the next script over here in front of us, and the next one has a woman in it. Has a woman in it. So for a while, we'll just put them in the program, but I think eventually what we're going to do is they get more elaborate and have more production values. We're going to put them out there for people who, you know, want to subscribe for $1.25 a week to the Malloy podcast thingy, okay?
Then they've you know, they've got to hear the episodes, right?
That's right. That's right. The idea here is to kind of hook you and get you like, oh, man, what's going on with Mike Malloy Gumshoe?
Kind of like coffee.
Well, yeah, kind of like that.
God, don't take my coffee away now.
All right. Way too much playing on the program tonight. It, you know, there's serious stuff going on. And back to the Ted Stevens case. I since Eric Holder, and bless his heart, I mean, somebody sent me an email, said, well, the Bush crime family deliberately screwed up the prosecution so that he would have to be pardoned. He's guilty as hell. I'm not saying that Ted Stevens is not guilty as charged, but so what? You know, better, who said it? Better that 100 criminals go free than one innocent man be convicted. That's just the way our system is. It's the adversarial system, and over the centuries, it has developed, going all the way back to English common law and into our system, it's developed this kind of adversarial system, granted, but it's a system that says, okay, there are certain rules. Now, I realize in 8 years of the Bush crime family, nobody in any position of authority, whether it was in business or government or in so many instances, even the military, nobody played by the rules. The Bush crime family set the tone. Rules? Schmools. We don't care about rules. Rules don't mean squat. Here, do it this way. Ha, 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 ha. Those dumb sons of bitches will never figure it out. Ha, ha, ha. So maybe Ted Stevens is guilty. Maybe he is. But the conviction was gotten in a manner that is acceptable when you have a Republican administration. But it's not acceptable when you have a Democratic administration. When you have a Democratic administration, the rules, especially where it concerns the courtroom, especially where it concerns the federal courtroom, the rules have to be properly followed. And if they are not, it is up to the nation's chief law enforcement officer, in this case, Eric Holder, to say, no, the rules weren't followed. We're tossing out the conviction, and let's face it, because this man is 85 years old, he's no longer in the Senate. We're not going to retry him. Pat Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, who's chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, praised Holder for this and said, quote, it shows clearly that he's committed to the rule of law, regardless of politics, end quote. And Leahy is a former prosecutor, is a frequent critic, if you'll remember, the Justice Department during the Bush crime family's heyday. So, yeah, maybe Ted Stevens is guilty. And if he was guilty, then he should have been found guilty using the rules of evidence, using the system that everyone has to rely on. If we can't rely on that system and we get charged with something, what's going to happen? Who's going to yell for us, huh? Who's going to stand up and say no? Holder, you remember, is a former prosecutor and a former judge. And he noted that the Justice Department's Office of Professional Responsibility was conducting a review of the prosecutor's conduct in the case. Now, it was the office. The reason I snigger is it was the Justice Department's Office of Professional Responsibility that was so corrupted and destroyed during the Bush years. Ted Stevens faced an almost certain prison term on the conviction, but the judge had delayed imposing the sentence because of several previous disclosures of his misconduct that were the basis for motions by Stevens' lawyers throughout the conviction. As a matter of fact, the judge, if you remember the trial, scolded the prosecutors over and over again during the trial over a series of incidents in which they concealed important information from defense lawyers that might have been used by the defense. You can't do that. You can't lock people up in Guantanamo. You can't tell people we're not going to charge you. You can't tell people you don't get legal representation. We can't tell people we're going to hold you indefinitely forever if we goddamn feel like it. You can't do that unless you're a Republican. Eric Holder is not a Republican. I don't know what he is, but he's damn sure not a Republican. So now it's time to start sending the emails and begin the pressure on the Justice Department to take the conviction of Alabama, former Alabama Governor, Democrat Don Siegelman, and toss it in the garbage also.
Up America one flying monkey at a time. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. According to thinkprogress.org, late last night, Senate Republicans blocked a deal brokered by the White House and the Democratic leadership to extend a $15 billion loan to General Motors and Chrysler. Now, I don't know what your feelings are about General Motors and Chrysler, but, I've got mixed emotions. So let me just go with this. Senators were deadlocked over Republican demands for steep cuts in pay and benefits by the UAW union for this year coming. And Republicans immediately blamed the unions. David Vitter, Republican from Louisiana. Richard Shelby, Republican from Alabama. Corker, Republican from Tennessee. Notice how they're all from these southern states, these so-called right-to-work states where unions are frowned on. These bastards immediately blamed the unions. Vitter said, it sounds like the UAW blew it up. Shelby said, labor has got to give. If they want a bill, they can get one. Corker said he went on the morning shows today and to blame the United Auto Workers for refusing to make concessions and allowing these companies to fall into peril. They are blaming the unions. These filthy sons of bitches are blaming the unions. Now, you can come to any conclusion you want to about the misguided efforts of the Obama administration to handle this. And God knows we all have an opinion, right? But as far as the auto industry is concerned, sure. Okay, let them sink. No, keep them swimming. No, let them sink. No, to hell with them. No, save them. No, it's, what else do we make in this country anymore except cars? I mean, you go on and on. But the one thing that we can all agree on, the Senate Republicans' main priority was union busting. That's all. That's all they're about. These filthy sons of bitches. According to Think Progress, a memo sent among Senate Republican staffers called for Republicans to, quote, stand firm and take their first shot against organized labor, end quote. And speaking at a press conference this morning, UAW President Ron Gettelfinger said the Republicans made it, quote, very clear that there are those who would do away with unions altogether, end quote. Gettelfinger went on and emphasized that the myth that UAW workers are paid drastically more than employees of foreign automakers is simply subterfuge. The Detroit Free Press which is no friend of unions, trust me, reported a year ago that the union, the UAW, was, quote, losing its edge in pay, end quote, compared with non-unionized workers for foreign companies. And Gettelfinger also reminded these filthy conservatives that the union had already accepted broad concessions. And more importantly, Gettelfinger identified Senate Republicans' main goal to destroy unions, blame the UAW for the auto industry failure. Gettelfinger said, quote, it's just easy to take the union and blame us for everything. And as you can see, some of those in the Senate who were quick to scuttle this plan want to say that it's the fault of the UAW. All they want to do is say, wait a minute, workers shouldn't have a voice in the workplace. It's very clear that there are those who would do away with unions tonight, end quote. And as Rachel pointed out last night, quote, Senate Republicans are on an ideological-driven union-busting adventure, end quote. That's what this is about. This is, you know, this, again, I mentioned earlier tonight, this started with Reagan. It started in 1980, one of the first things, or 81, one of the first things that the movie actor did was to bust the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Organization, PATCO. Remember that? And what were they asking for? Better pay, shorter hours, take some of the stress off. But because it was a union, Ronald Reagan, who used to be a member of the Screen Actors Guild in California and was a president of his local union until he became a spy for J. Edgar Hoover to find commies in the Screen Actors Guild, to find commies working in Hollywood. Son of a bitch, I hate a rat. Don't you? Anyway, when Think Progress posted this today, there were some responses at their website that I thought were pretty good. One says, sure, the Republicans are in the minority and are morons, but you know what? They're the ones on the talk shows this morning touting their actions, lying. Why aren't the Democrats out there in force? Don't blame the Republicans for knowing how to get their point out to the public. Well, yeah, that's true up to a point. You know, can you imagine Joe Scarborough inviting Ron Gettelfinger on and showing him any kind of respect at all? I don't think so. Here's another post. The GOP is demanding that the UAW take pay and benefit cuts to bring them down to parity with workers for Japanese firms. I didn't see anything in their speeches, however, suggesting that all the big three executives and management have their salaries and benefits cut to the same level. American CEOs make about 300 times the salary that their employers do, while Japanese CEOs make about 10 times the worker's salary. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, you see? And then this one. Hourly wages for UAW workers at GM factories are about equal to those paid by Toyota Motor Company at its older U.S. factories, according to the companies. GM says the average UAW laborer makes $29.78 an hour, while Toyota says it pays about $30 an hour. But the unionized factories have far higher benefit costs. GM says his total hourly labor costs are now $69 an hour, including wages, pensions, health care for active workers, the pension and health care costs for more than 432,000 retirees and spouses. Maybe some genius can come up with the realization this country needs single-payer health care and get it off the backs of the companies. You think? Huh? We'll be back after the break. We're going to open the lines. I'd like to hear from you. The number's 877-99-MALLOY. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Yeah.
Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. Just a couple more from Think Progress, the responses to what they had up today about how the Republicans used the situation, trying to bail out GM and Chrysler, use that situation to destroy unions. And again, whether you agree with the bailout or not is kind of secondary to the idea that the Republicans are so anti-working man, working woman. And that's why I could never understand Reagan Democrats. This is what, and I'm not going to kick their asses again tonight because I've kicked their asses so many times, but the so-called Reagan Democrats are partly responsible for the situation we're in today. There's just no way you can get around that, okay? And if you're still alive and you've watched your stock portfolio disappear, how do you feel now, huh? How do you feel now, you Reagan Democrats? How did that feel, huh? Just couldn't handle that Jimmy Carter, huh? Well, how do you feel now? But I digress. Conservatives, Republicans, and neo-fascists, they have to dismember unions. You want to know why? Some of you are familiar with the 14 defining characteristics of fascism. Matter of fact, I did a YouTube about this, and it's out there. 14 defining characteristics of fascism. Number 10. Here's number 10. The power of labor suppressed or eliminated. Since organized labor was seen as the one power center that could challenge the political hegemony of the ruling elite and its corporate allies, it was inevitably crushed or made powerless. The poor formed an underclass, viewed with suspicion or outright contempt. Under some regimes, being poor was considered akin to a vice. Labor unions, they have always been a bulwark against fascism. Where you do not have labor unions, you have fascism, or you have state-sponsored terrorism, whether it is Chinese communism or Soviet Union communism or Franco or Hitler or Mussolini, where you have no labor unions that are free and independent, that can bargain and negotiate with the corporate bosses. In a country like that, you have the door wide open for fascism. That's one of the reasons that Republican members of the Senate, especially the ones from here in the South, are so determined to destroy unions. Because you have to remember that the power here in the South, the real power in the South, was, is, and probably will be for a long time to come, white. It is Caucasian. And the perfect fascist organization, i.e. the perfect capitalist organization, requires a slave class. And if these rat bastards can't have slaves, they damn sure don't want unions. You don't like the fact that we're paying $6 an hour over there at the Walmart? Well, then don't go to work. I can't stand the way they talk either, especially these slob asses from Alabama and Mississippi. They just drive me crazy. You ain't going to get no welfare, though. Mm-mm. Like hogs. A couple more responses that Think Progress. It must really be something to call oneself a Republican today, to willingly and take pride in a political agenda so bereft of tolerance and equal justice under the law, while actively destroying piece by piece this country's secular constitutional principles that gave strength and meaning to the once proud American dream. And it must really be something to call oneself a Democrat today, to willingly and wantonly allow Republicans to get away with it. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? And there's this one. Republicans hate American workers. Toyota pays $30 an hour. UAW workers get $27 an hour. So why do repukes hate American workers? Their corporate masters don't want workers to have any say about their working conditions, is what is going on. Dangerous conditions? Too bad. Long hours with no overtime? Too bad. No health care? That's your problem. No vacation pay? You don't need a life. How can anybody in this country who is a member of the working class, and by that I mean anyone who works for wages, I'm not talking about bonuses, I'm not talking about unearned income, I'm talking about people who get off their asses and work for a living, how can anyone in that group vote Republican? And here's the last one. One of the responses at Think Progress to that article. Here's what I like to see in a perfect world. This is regarding the auto industry. One, fix the healthcare system in our country so it's not the responsibility of employers to pay for healthcare. This will save the company big bucks right there without screwing the employees. Two, build better cars. Three, reduce the salaries, bonuses, and golden parachutes of executives to more closely match our foreign competition. Four, build more economical cars. Five, whenever a new innovation comes out in the auto industry, our companies spend a fortune lobbying Congress into not making it mandatory. Meanwhile, the Japanese implement the changes, and we buy their cars. This has happened with airbags, eye-level brake lights, hybrid electrics, etc. This must stop. Six, build more fuel-efficient cars. Seven, quit telling the American public that they must have what they must have and start listening to what the American public really wants. Do we really want all those gas-guzzling SUVs out there? Some probably do, but I also know a number of people whose only reason for driving an SUV is because it's the only way they feel safe out in traffic. Eight, build better cars. I certainly agree with that. Bob is calling from Brunswick, Georgia, listening on XM. Bob, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Mike. Bob Corker's voice kind of comes to mind on what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't he sound like he ought to be on one of those auction blocks, you know, a couple hundred years back or something?
Oh, God.
What a miserable human being that is. My God.
Yeah, he is.
But and another thing, Mike, talking about those Reagan Democrats, so that kind of goes to the real problem with this America. It's the American people. I mean, it's a joke how stupid, and they just can't make it. You know, they're not aware of anything. They're not educated. It's the American people that go for all this stuff and keep electing these same idiots over and over again. You know what I mean?
Well, I do know what you mean, and that is part of the problem. As a matter of fact, that's the core issue of the problem. Bob, thanks. I appreciate what you had to say. It is until we educate ourselves, just elementary, in an elementary sense. This is going to keep happening. How many kids coming out of high school, let's do high school, in the past 35 years have any understanding whatsoever? So that would include people who right now are in the oldest part of that cohort would be in their early 50s. How many people understand, really understand, and can appreciate the history of the labor union movement in this country? How many people understand and can really appreciate how the middle class in this country was put together? How many people can really understand what happened to all those men? What was it? 4 million, 3 million who came back from World War II, and the corporate slobs just couldn't wait to have this cheap workforce. But oh no, all of a sudden there was a GI Bill. How many businesses were formed, entrepreneurs, because of the GI Bill? How many Americans understand that? So yeah, I hear what you're saying, Bob. All right, we have a break here. We'll come back. We have one open line now. The number is 877-99-MALLOY. So if you want to take advantage of that, now's the time to do it. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Legends of the past, we'll learn.
just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's a little bit too late, even for Super Beans coffee, but it's about 21 past the hour. Alan is calling from Helsinki, Finland, listening on the internet. Hey, Alan.
Yes, Mike, podcastfully yours. Your number one fan from Helsinki is on the line.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and I just want everybody to, you know, take a little ownership in the best radio program money can buy.
I like that. I like that idea. And, you know, for 25 cents a day, that ain't bad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mike, you know, I listened to this phone call the other day that you had with this woman, Leanne, from San Diego, and it really just got under my skin. You know, I know that progressives out there are, you know, already railing about Obama. And, you know, we know that he's not a progressive.
Mm-hmm.
He ran as a moderate. That's how he got elected. I wanted Dennis Kucinich just like everybody else did. I wrote you a letter about, you know, Dennis Kucinich being president and Maxine Waters being Speaker of the House. If I had my way, that's the way the world would be, but that's not the way the world is.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to support Obama. If McCain were president today, General Motors and Chrysler would be out of business. Many more of our listeners would be living in their cars or in tents somewhere. I mean, it would just be chaos. I mean, we got to get together, and Obama's not perfect, but he's the best we got.
Well, you know, this is the issue I go back and forth on, Alan, and I'm usually convinced one way or the other, and I hate to say this, depending on the last person I talk to. I hate somebody who waffles like that, and here I am doing it. Every time I hear this guy talk, Obama, I get re-inspired, and I think to myself, okay, he's going to do it. And then I watch what his policies are or what people who work in his administration are doing in so many instances, especially where it concerns his Wall Street bailout. And you know, I start to tense up again. You know, I feel like I'm coming and going. I don't know what the hell to do here.
I'm with you. I feel I have a lot of those same feelings. But the alternative, the Republicans hate the Democrats so much. I mean, if Jesus were to walk on water, they'd filibuster it.
Yeah, that's true. No, I'm not saying that, I'm not arguing if the choice is Barack Obama and any Republican, of course it's Obama. You know, what I said earlier tonight, I have a sense that Barack Obama represents the new American Conservative Party. The Republicans are in the toilet. They are dreck. They are nothing. They're trash. They've destroyed everything they put their hands on for the past 25 years, and I think the public is starting to realize that. So we have
right.
Barack Obama, who represents, he is the head, the titular head of the Democratic Party now, and he is a conservative. He may be a moderate conservative, but he is a conservative. Look at his policies. So what do we do now, the people in this country who really want a liberal party? Well, somebody's got to step out and say, hi, I'm Joe Schmo, or I'm Mary Smith, and I am putting together the Liberal Party. And then, you know, because the Republican Party is going to die. It's going to be kicked to the street. Nobody is going to want anything to do with it, at least not anyone whose numbers equal enough to put these bastards back in office. But Obama, as you point out, Obama is not a liberal.
He's not.
And I don't know how progressive he is. I'm still ricocheting this way and ricocheting that way. 90% of the time I support what he's doing. 100% of the time I support what he says. And the other 10% of the time, you know, I just think, oh, Jesus, you know, is this another trick? Is this another joke? Is Barack Obama really just another one of them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. You know, Mike, I was in Switzerland last weekend skiing, and, you know, my wife and I are on the train, and a bunch of people from Iowa are, you know, taking the vacation of their lives in Europe. And here we are on this wonderful high-speed train, you know, going along, and they're talking, you know, because they could hear my voice and saying, well, you know, this high-speed train stuff is not going to work in America. I mean, these people have no vision. The Republicans have no vision. They can't see this is exactly the thing that is needed in America, that goods and services can
sure.
be moved quickly
sure.
around the country. I mean, this Obama's trying to do some good things, and we need to support him when he's right, and we need to get on his rear end when he isn't.
Yeah, I hear you, and that makes perfect sense. Alan, thanks for checking in as always, okay?
People, get your podcast. It's our program.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love you, man.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. Always do. Always do. Yeah, he's right. Get your podcast on, you know. I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound like I'm doing a pledge drive for National Public Radio. I'm not. I'm asking you to buy something. This is not, this is not a freebie. I'm not saying, oh, give me $20. Sign up and I'll send you a free CD of the best of Moody Blues. No, I'm saying, look, we've got something really worth selling. It'll cost you 25 cents a day or a buck and a quarter a week. And it's a podcast of every program that you hear. So please do it.
What? There's no prayer glove? I can't get a prayer glove for my 7 cents an hour?
No.
Eight cents an hour?
It's a prayer strip. It's a prayer thing. Rug. I don't know. No, that's Muslim. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
Stand back. Here come 50,000 watts of free speech. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. This is the Malloy program. John is calling from Louisville, listening on XM. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. It's quite an honor to speak to you. I can't believe I finally got through.
Well, the honor's mine.
Well, listen, I work for one of the two largest air parcel delivery companies, actually the one that is based out of the state that you're in.
Uh-huh.
I'm a union member, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't think it's any accident that, one of the things that happened after 911 was the airlines took a dump and everybody went into concessions.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, following that with a big, with a high fuel prices, the auto industry took a major dump, and of course they wanted concessions from the union members there. I think it was really all part of the plan, mm-hmm. W's plan, or his whole administration. It was all part of what they really wanted to accomplish anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bush himself was too stupid. This guy had a hard time walking and chewing gum at the same time, but the people behind him, yeah, it was to destroy guys like you. It was to destroy little businesses like mine. It was to shut down independent voices, A. B. destroy unionized workers, set it up so you'll deliver for the company you deliver for, maybe do piece work. That's big in the South. You know, you're paid for every little piece of work that you do. So
exactly.
If you're sick or your hands break or your back hurts, well, you're screwed, you know?
And, that's exactly what Republicans are all about, and you lay it out every night so brilliantly. And I've been listening to you for years on XM, and that's really the only reason I've kept my subscription. And I just wanted to say that I'm going to buy the Mike Malloy annual subscription just to support your show, because what you and Kathy do is so important.
Well,
it means so much to this country.
Well, wow. Well, thank you very much. I mean, that's pretty strong words.
Hey, well, listen, let me say one more thing.
Sure.
You've inspired me, and I've had so many break room arguments with my buddies who are also union members who, for some stupid reason, always vote for Republicans.
Yeah.
And every single day, every time, I got to a point where I wasn't gonna initiate any argument, but I wasn't gonna let anybody say something where I knew it was a bunch of bull, and of course as soon as I heard something, then I would pipe up, and I just had to, you know, give my point of view, and you were a huge source of information for me to be able to win a lot of the arguments.
Well, that's good. I hope you win a few beers or something, you know, when you win those arguments. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, man.
I appreciate it, man. You're the best.
Well, thanks. Don't be a stranger. We want to hear from you occasionally. Thanks a lot, John. Just remember, though, that, you know, this program is a funnel. There's very little on this program that is original. Well, all right. Not even the daily blogs. You know, I pick and choose little bits and pieces all over the place. But that's cool. I appreciate the kind words. I really do. Thank you. Nan is calling from St. Louis, listening on XM. Hey, Nan.
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I love your show.
Thank you. Thank you.
I heard you say earlier something about the big lie.
Yes.
And to me, it seems like the biggest lie is that we all believe that we're powerless to do anything, and they don't even have to promote that lie anymore. We reinforce it daily. I have patients that I talk to every day, and every day I hear the same two things. All those criminals in Washington ought to go, but can't do anything about it.
Right. Yeah. The learned helplessness, I think, is what it's called.
Yes. And the other thing is that I quit watching TV about 6 years ago. Well, I don't own a TV.
Mm-hmm.
But and so educating yourself and then trying to educate those around you is a Herculean task.
It is.
They're not going to. They won't believe truth when it's in their face at all.
Well, that's true. And just educating one's own self. Where, first of all, you have to sit down and map out where you're going to get the information that you need to get educated to begin with. Because a damn sure, now you don't have this problem, but a damn sure doesn't come from television news. It very seldom comes, with some clear exceptions, it very seldom comes from the print medium, from newspapers. It's there. I mean, there are an awful lot of people writing for newspapers who, you know, I just think they are doing everything they can to save this republic. So I'm not, you know, I don't give a blanket condemnation of writers by any stretch of the imagination, but the corporate people who own newspapers and start cutting out, cutting the, features out, cutting the reporters, cutting the foreign correspondents so that they can turn a profit, and television, forget about television. So it's a difficult task. You're absolutely right. Trying to figure out.
It requires hours and hours and hours every day.
Yeah.
And then every day you get led in a different direction. I mean, I still have, every day I have a different idea about what's going on in this country right now from some other source of information that I find.
Right.
But I wanted to ask you something. I heard this today on the BBC, and it's the first time I have ever heard this. And they were interviewing the leader from Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing that she said they all are there for is to do something about the tax havens. It doesn't have anything to do. I mean, that's what she said the main concern is will something be done about tax havens? Not the banks, the this, the that, taking care of them, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean,
That may be an issue to the Indonesians. I can't see that as being a major issue or a defining issue of this meeting. It certainly.
Well, that's what I thought, but then it was repeated again by several other journalists.
Are they talking about closing the tax havens or making them even more user friendly? What are they talking about? Closing them off?
I don't know. She wants to know who's going to attack the problem of the tax havens.
Oh.
I assumed just from the context of it that they wanted to get rid of them.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, what's, you know, how is that that's the first time I've heard anybody say anything about tax havens regarding the whole global problem.
Well, same here. I mean, it is a problem here. Nan, thank you. It is a problem here. There's so many cheaters, most of them Republicans, cheaters, people who don't want to buy the podcast. Only in this case, it is pay the price of living in this country, and that is you pay your damn taxes. Just pay your taxes, that's all. And when you can't pay your taxes, as I've been in that situation a couple of times, owning a small business or having an emergency that left me unemployed, there have been many times when I owed back taxes and busted my ass trying to pay them off. But for the people who don't want to pay taxes, and usually it's the filthy rich. It's not some working class dude like me. It's the people in that top 1 or 2% who say, no, I don't have to do this. Pay it. Well, who is the woman in New York who said that she's dead now? The queen of mean, the one that,
only the little people pay taxes,
right?
Good old Lenora Helmsley.
The Helmsley Hotels have said only the little people pay taxes. Well, Jesus Christ, here I am. I'm very little, but the tax havens in this country, especially the tax dodges by the corporations that come into they go into an area, a city, a state, a county, and they get all sorts of abatements and tax relief and promises. Well, you don't have to pay anything. Well, no, here's the land free. Just open up a factory. Please open up a factory. And they do open up a factory, and they pollute the groundwater, and they pollute the air, and they bury their waste so that it finally works its way around to start causing kids to have cancer. And then the sons of bitches leave when they can't, you know, when the county comes back 10 years later and says, well, look, you're going to have to clean up this mess. Oh, yeah? We're out of here. Hello, India! We're coming! And not only that, whatever profits they do make, they hide it offshore. In a P.O. box someplace. That's their business address, so they don't have to contribute their share to this country. I hate these sons of bitches. I cannot. So why try? State, fully and effectively, how little respect I have for people and corporations who just refuse to pay their share. That's the price of living here. But not for them. Nah, let the little people pay, you know, screw them, like Abraham Lincoln said, or was it Lincoln? God sure must have loved the common man, because he damn sure made enough of them. Whore, 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 isn't that a knee slapper? Whore, 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 whore. One of these days. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us. About 10 before the hour. Time once again to say thank you to Kathy Bay, who engineered and produced this program. Our technical advisor is Ben Birch, military affairs correspondent is Sharon Gordy, our economic correspondent is Bruce Enberg, and the ethical advisors of the program are Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf. The segment tonight, Mike Molloy Gumshoe, written by Bob Alexander. Back to your phone calls. Robert is calling from San Francisco, listening on the internet. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Mike. I'm glad you're still on the air.
Oh, forever.
Hey, I like that comment. You'll have to pry this mic from my cold, dead hands.
There you go.
Hey, you know, Valerie Plame, who had Brewster Jennings' big spy operation to find out people that were dealing with weapons of mass destruction, and then Sybil Edmonds came up and said they had to gag her. She said, hey, there's somebody here in our State Department, like Mark Grossman, allegedly, that's trying to sell nukes to get nuclear technology out there to these people we don't want them to. Well, it seems it's a little deeper than that. Remember that guy that tried to out Madoff 8 or 9 years ago? The Ponzi scheme? Well, apparently, allegedly, it's being reported that Madoff and seven others, the former head of Shin Bet, Jacob Perry, Larry Silverstein, Morris Greenberg, a bunch of other people were involved in Madoff specifically in financing Mossad's operation globally. If you go to whatdoesitmean.com and read that article on Madoff, it puts the pieces a bit more together. AGI, I believe, was Maurice Greenberg was the president of AIG.
What's the website?
Whatdoesitmean.com.
Whatdoesitmean.com?
Yeah. Very interesting, because it kind of fits together how these spooks like to have corporate cover. If you ever see the movie Syriana that has Clooney in it.
Oh, yeah.
And he figures, I just got burned. Who most likely is the top guy here? Well, he just looked for the head of a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
The big oil guy, and said, hey, your life is going to be very unpleasant unless my life gets back to the way that it was in 48 hours. His life is back to normal. But I just think it's a way to understand what's going on. And I think also that Obama, unfortunately, has surrounded himself with so many people that are of the same ilk as Bush had surrounding him, that I think this economic thing is just part of the global project for New American Century.
Well, you know, that's the part that that makes me extremely nervous. And the people who are around, you know, your grandmother probably told you, like mine told me, you're known by the company you keep.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I bring this up and display my own uncertainty about Obama, I usually get a lot of emails, and it's okay. I mean, I don't want the emails to stop, but I get a lot of emails from people that say, come on, you're losing the faith. You've got to support this man. You know, what is the alternative? And I agree with that. What is the alternative? But I think if people are going to support Barack Obama, as we did, I did, during the primary campaign after Kucinich was eliminated, I had made it very clear going back, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, support your candidate in the primary season. And then when it gets down, if your candidate doesn't make it, either, you know, what are you going to do, drop out, not vote, or are you going to vote for the Democrat? Or in the case of crazy people, vote for the Republican. But the idea that that Barack Obama is somehow setting he may be setting the tone, but that's all these advisors around him who are feeding information to him. And let's be real here, Barack Obama is very, very young. I mean, my God, what is he, 47? And not to lessen or disparage his experience or his education. He is an intellectual. He's a very bright man. I think he's going to be fine. But let's really be real here. What is his political experience? A, B, what about these people he's surrounding himself with? Who is guiding him? Who is directing him? And we talked about this during the primary campaign. And oh, did I get people pissed off?
He's the first Northerner since JFK, and
I said that's true. Yeah,
and there's a lot of hope put in him, and I think that we should support him, and we should light a fire under him and make him do stuff. I think 100 days is plenty long time enough to start filing charges against these criminals that were in the last 8 years.
Well, I have a strong feeling that that's not going to happen. Eric Holder demonstrated today that he is, I think he's going to be a superlative attorney general, but by dropping prosecution of Ted Stevens, even though Ted Stevens might be guilty, it doesn't matter the way the trial was conducted. Now, if he'll go to work on dropping charges against Don Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama, who was railroaded by the right wing, and if Holder does initiate an investigation of these war criminals, then I think it's a lockdown that he's the right man for this job. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I really don't.
You've got reason to think that way. Holder's a career man who has taken steps to block investigations into things like Waco and that. So all we can do is really push these guys. And I just hope you keep on the radio until WiMAX comes out, and then we'll show these program directors exactly who wants to listen to who.
Until what comes out?
WiMAX. It's a long-range wireless internet.
Oh, the new people meter.
It's 30 to 50 mile range on your. You just dial in a number on your little radio, and you'll be able to listen to you when you're on live. Like we get you. Recorded.
I love it.
We get you recorded here, and Peter B. Collins. They just dumped him. And,
yeah. Hey, listen, Robert. I hate to say this, man, yeah. But we are flat out of time. Thanks for checking in. Okay. All right, sir. Take care. Hope to hear from you again. We'll see you tomorrow night. Okay. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.